In New South Wales, children can be held in solitary confinement for days at a time, even if they haven't been convicted of a crime. Advocates say more children are being impacted, with an increase of nearly 100 children being held in solitary between 2023 and 2025. The Justice and Equity Centre has been in the New South Wales Supreme Court last month, representing a client who was held in solitary confinement aged just 17. Here to tell us more about the case and what it could change is Justice and Equity Centre solicitor Petra Franks. Morning, Petra. How are you?
Morning, Danny. Good, thanks.
Now, what has happened to your client?
Well, when Daniel was just, as you said, 17 years old, he was held at Cobham Youth Justice Centre in New South Wales. He was there waiting for his trial. And while he was there, he was held in effectively solitary confinement for 25 days. He was kept locked in a cell alone and really only allowed out for 30 minutes to maybe an hour a day for recreation time, which is a poor description because he was really closely watched by two officers and handcuffed the whole time. He had to eat all his meals alone in his room, and he had to eat with his hands because he wasn't allowed any cutlery. Daniel couldn't mix with any of the other boys at the centre. He couldn't even go to school. And even though it was a really distressing time, he only had very sporadic access to a counsellor. So what Daniel experienced was really horrendous and totally unnecessary.
Oh my God, that sounds barbaric. What are the sort of impacts that a person will feel after being held in solitary confinement?
Yeah, well, solitary confinement, as you can imagine, it's an extremely distressing experience for anybody. For adults, it's proven to have lasting negative impacts, but let alone children, which is anyone under 18 years old. It's really traumatizing, and it actually interferes with their development. It can cause psychological damage, and it can lead to self-harm, psychosis, and suicide. Because of how very dangerous it is, international law has said that the use of solitary confinement on children is actually illegal.
Yeah.
So advocates around the country have been calling for a ban for a long time.
Is this an isolated incident? I mean, how big of an issue is solitary confinement of children?
It is actually a big issue because it's so incredibly serious, and also because it's maybe more common than you would think. For example, over the last year, just in New South Wales, kids were put in isolation for more than 22 hours, 139 times. And that's an increase from the previous years. The longest isolation went for 23 and a half days. And that's well over the international legal definition of what's called prolonged solitary confinement, which is actually considered a form of torture.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that this is something that overwhelmingly impacts Aboriginal children. Aboriginal kids are not only more likely to be put into a detention centre, but on top of that, they're then more likely to be put into solitary confinement and at a younger age than the other kids. For example, this year, Aboriginal children made up about 60% of the youth justice population. But then they made up about 69% of kids put into solitary confinement. And of the children put into isolation who were about 13 years old, 88% of those kids were Aboriginal.
Oh, right, okay. So I guess the terrible argument might be, shouldn't justice staff be able to separate people in detention if they need to?
Well, yes. Yeah, that is the argument. And justice staff should be able to separate kids in detention if they need to in order to respond to, like, a serious safety issue.
Yeah.
But that separation does not need to look like solitary confinement, and it doesn't need to go for the length of time that we're seeing it go on for.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, justice staff, they have several different powers that they can use to isolate someone, and that environment is resulting in kids ending up in solitary confinement. So we do need to change the law so that isolation can only be used in really specific, narrow and exceptional circumstances to prevent an immediate and very serious threat of injury. And then once the threat has subsided and it's been dealt with, the isolation has to end. So, yeah, we are calling for stronger legal protections so that children who need to be separated are safe during that time. and for the law to put a really strict limitation on how long that isolation could go for.
Justice and Equity Centre solicitor Petra Franks, you do some absolutely amazing work there. Just sort of the stuff that you have to deal with, it's just beyond comprehension. But even though you have to deal with all of this terrible sides of humanity, you still do some really, really wonderful stuff. With all of this that's happening, what could this case change?
Well, we really hope that this case will get some justice for Daniel, which is what he's been fighting for a very, very long time. We also hope it will clarify the limits of youth justice's power to hold young people in isolation, and then also set a very clear precedent that will protect kids from youth justice misusing those powers. We also think this case really highlights the need for our laws in New South Wales to step up and reflect that international legal standard and more strictly limit the use of these really harmful isolation practices on kids.
To find out more about all the wonderful work that you're doing there at the Justice and Equity Centre, go to jec.org.au. I will link to that from the 2SER website. Petra Franks, thank you so much for your time today, and I extend that to all of the Justice and Equity Centre who join us here on 2SER Breakfast on a regular basis. You do absolutely fantastic work, and it is an honour and a pleasure to be able to highlight it as part of everything that we do here on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having us.